Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Living life as a gringo, where you question where you fit in every time you mingle. They say you do this with not enough that. My rapping is really bad. This life as a gringo.
Yes, hello and welcome to another episode of Life as a Gringo. I am Dramos, of course. And then I'm going to keep this short and sweet because I am incredibly excited about today's show. I have an amazing guest hopping on here. My guy, Humble the Poet, who is just an incredible human being. He's written a few books now at this point. He has a new book out called How to Be Loved. And man, he's just somebody who I've been reading for years at this point, which is absolutely crazy to think of. And he's had a profound, you know, impact on the way that I think in so many different ways. It's been an inspiration hearing his story and his journey as a writer. And, you know, even behind the scenes, you know, he's been just an incredible kind of mentor and somebody that I've always been able to kind of go to and pick his brain, particularly on this journey that I'm going on now as, you know, trying to release books and things like that. An incredible story, you know, that he has. We won't get into that on today's conversation because I want to focus around the book that he has because it is just such an incredible concept and topic. And he's talking about love, but not just, you know, romantic love, but self-love and, man, preparing to get into a relationship and the work that we should be doing beforehand, which I think so many of us are kind of clueless to. And then even being in a relationship, just trying to navigate that, you know, because as beautiful as it is to be in a relationship and to find somebody that you love, there are going to be difficult points and a lot of growth that is needed in order to make that relationship work. And we're going to get into all that stuff on today's show. I'm really excited about it. I always feel energized when I hear, you know, his perspective, whether it be an interview from someone else or when I get to talk to him. So I'm really excited to kind of bring him to the show. And anybody that's not familiar, you know, Humble is also a man of color. He's not Latin, but, you know, he is of Indian descent. And I just think it's interesting, you know, he doesn't look like your typical kind of wellness author or figure. And we get into that. You know, I know a lot of people listening to this, myself included, we struggle with that imposter syndrome, right? So we're going to pick his brain on not only the book, not only the conversation of love and personal growth, but also what it's like to navigate in a world that you don't really see anybody that looks like you, right? Let's be real here. So, man, we're going to get into that. So basically, today's show is just going to be one long mi gente segment. And I'm beyond excited to bring you guys this conversation. And as usual, if you haven't yet, real quick, a little plug. Check out my other podcast, The Street Stoic. We combine hip-hop lyrics and quotes with ancient Stoic philosophy, bringing you that daily dose of inspiration. Less than 15 minutes, and it's like a Monday through Friday podcast to start your day. That's my plug, The Street Stoic Podcast. Go check it out if you haven't yet. I'm really proud of it. We've been getting a lot of great feedback, so please check that out. And without further ado, let's bring on today's guest, Humble the Poet, and we'll do it in our Mi Gente segment.
Mi Gente.
My guest today is an international best-selling author whose new book, How to Be Loved, is available right now. My guy, Humble the Poet, how you feeling, my bro?
I'm feeling fantastic, brother. Glad to be back on. Yeah. Glad to see you growing.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, you got a dope set.
Thank you.
I see my book up there.
Unlearned is up there. Yeah, man, because... Nice. It's really funny, and I think it's such a beautiful kind of the way life sort of works, you know what I mean, is I remember just getting Unlearned when I was working at the Breakfast Club, right? Like, we get sent, you know, when I was working there, a ton of different books, right? And they just kind of stack up, and, like, for whatever reason, I gravitated towards it and picked it up. And, you know, life just throws you shit sometimes when it's, like, right when you need it the most, you know what I mean? You kind of stumble upon it, and that's what Unlearned has been for me. And I've been, you know, sharing it with people in my life over the course of the last few years. You know, those closest to me, it was one of the first gifts I ever gave my girlfriend when we started dating. This little mantle behind me is definitely like artifacts of what I feel like has kind of shaped this moment that I'm walking into right now. So that's why Unlearned is up there.
No, that's amazing, man. As I said, like, you committed to doing this, and here you still are. A lot of people start and they don't keep up with it,
right?
So I want to commend you for that, man. Consistency is the secret sauce to everything.
Yeah, bro, I appreciate you, man. I mean, that's definitely, obviously, you know, very much seen in all that you're doing. So I want to get into it because I always love hearing your perspective in general, you know, and I think this is such a dope kind of avenue that you're stepping into now, right? Because the first book, I think Unlearned, was a bit more of like general self-help, more so about, like, you know, the ideas that we're taught growing up and how to kind of, you know, pick and choose the ones that serve us and no longer serve us, right? And then the second one was a bit more personal and sort of autobiographical, right? And you kind of had these anecdote stories about your life that, you know, then you would apply the things that you're talking about. And a little like side note on that, when you told the story about your dog in that second book, bro, and you're choking up when you're doing the audiobook, because I listened to that, bro, I was like bawling to my car, and it was just like this, man, it was just this beautiful moment of like vulnerability, you know what I mean, that I think is largely lost, especially amongst men, right? And I think that's why so much of your work resonates with people. And then particularly now with this new book, you know, How to Be Loved, you know, you're focusing and centering around the idea of love, and not necessarily just in the romantic sense, but really love for oneself and love as a whole. So, I mean, let's just start right there. Like, why did the topic of love become the center of conversation for your next book?
I mean, for all the books that I do, I take things that I selfishly need and want to learn about.
Mm-hmm.
And take these super deep dives, and what these books end up being is like a copy of my notebook, mm-hmm. an organized notebook. You know, I'm not no love guru. I'm not no love expert. I'm the dude at the front of the class because he's fucked up so many times in his own love life, mm-hmm. that he's trying to figure out, like, what am I doing wrong?
Sure.
Why can't I find love, or why can't I have love, or why did I have somebody who was so amazing in my life and I couldn't appreciate them? And, you know, the first chapter is about a breakup I had, and it's called Diamonds for Paperweight. It's literally using a diamond as a paperweight. I wasn't able to appreciate somebody else's value. Mm-hmm. And then just trying my best to figure out why. Why does everybody else seem happy and successful in relationships, and why can't I? And I think, so for me, it was really about taking the time and the energy to really dive deep into that. And
mm-hmm.
very quickly, you start to realize, like, oh, it really is about your relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything else is just a reflection of that. Your relationship with other people, friends, family, coworkers, your relationship with activities, your job, hobbies, whatever. All of these are just a reflection of your relationship with yourself.
Mm.
And doing these things outside of ourselves will have very little impact on who we are on the inside until we address that.
Sure.
So for me, that's really what it was. It was me realizing that I am struggling in this space and I want to go on this journey mm-hmm. to figure it all out. And that meant reading every psychologist, every, you know, reading the bell hooks, reading the Esther Perels, mm-hmm. Reading religious texts, reading Shakespeare, watching Disney, all of that, like just everything, trying to understand, get a better understanding of why do we believe the things we believe around love mm-hmm. and what actually works and what doesn't serve us anymore based off who we are in 2023.
Right, right. No, I mean, I think you're touching on so many things. I think when you're talking, I'm sort of resonating into my own personal experience, right? And I can imagine you can to a degree as well, like being highly motivated people, right, who are willing to do whatever they have to do, you know, obviously within moral reason, but doing whatever you have to do to make your dream come true, right? Your journey of you know, self-publishing the book and being a hip-hop artist independently, all these different things, right? And what I've noticed for me, and I'm curious if it's something that resonates for you, I had to develop a level of selfishness in order to make my shit happen, right? Because I had no connections. I had no rich parents. I had parents that didn't, you know, necessarily agree with what I was doing, right? So I was on an island by myself and I had to kind of create this hardened shell that I had to sort of put everything, you know, my own best interest essentially always in front of anybody else, right? Like my career, building this came first. Sorry, I can't come to your birthday. Sorry, I got to miss this important event because I have to do this for me. And what I've noticed at this point in my life, now that I'm in a serious relationship, I'm realizing that like that 100 mile an hour towards this one target is making me not very present in certain aspects of my relationship, right? And sort of this identity that I adapted previously where it was just like, listen, if you're going to be in a relationship with me, either you hang on or we don't have a relationship type of shit. You know what I mean? And I'm curious for you if that's kind of some of the stuff you began to go through when you were kind of, you know, getting into that relationship you're talking about in this journey of finding out why maybe love has, you know, been so fleeting for you.
Yeah, I think the two really interesting things that you kind of put out there was this idea of like having to put yourself first, and you use the word selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And the other idea of like, you know, we either operate on 0 and 100.
Yeah.
I think, I know I'm going to start with the latter first. I think that's the big challenge, is this thinking of duality. Like it's either all or nothing.
Sure.
You know, it's either good or bad. So mm-hmm. it's like, I got to put either 0 or 100. That's kind of been a conversation I've been having with a lot of people in different contexts lately. It's being like, look, there's a lot of numbers in between 0 and 100.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to acknowledge that, because again, when we simplify an idea, we think about that. You got to go hard. You got to mm-hmm. give your everything. And the truth is, and this is true for, you know, pretty much any profession,
mm-hmm.
you have to do an unhealthy amount of work mm-hmm. to achieve it. Whether you're trying to be a doctor, like the amount of studying you're trying to do, whether you're a professional athlete, you know, what you're yeah. doing to your body, you know, you're going above and beyond. And if you're trying to make a living, let alone a lucrative living,
mm-hmm.
It's going to come at a lot of different sacrifices, and it's going to be at an unhealthy level. That one thing, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to... And that's just the nature of the society that we live in, you know. And on top of that, everybody's encouraged to make it look easy.
Right.
You know, so we're encouraged to celebrate the Steph Curry logo shots, but mm-hmm. we don't have to see him in the gym trying that a million times.
Right.
So I think from that standpoint, there are numbers in between. And there is, and I don't want to use the word balance. I want to use the word harmony. Mm-hmm. You can find a harmony with one or the other. And it does, yeah, you know. I have quite a few friends who are working their asses off, high earners, and have partners that are like, you're not spending enough time with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, but at the same time, wanting the lifestyle that the tax bracket allows.
Right.
And saying like, look, the only reason we can afford to be on this island, the only reason we can afford to walk around the city in the middle of the day and not have to work is because some days I got to work till 11 p.m.
Sure.
Some days I got to be on call. Some days I got to leave dinner early. Mm-hmm. Some days I got to cancel our dates. That's the trade-off for it. And I think the conversation is more important than your actual recipe for that. I think the second one, the point you brought about being selfish, I don't think it's selfish to put yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's selfish to assume somebody else should put you first. Mm-hmm. I think we're all interdependent animals that need each other. But a lot of our needs, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them, we can meet ourselves, and we need to kind of reframe this idea of like, let's take care of ourselves, because you're not of any value to anybody else if you're not taking care of yourself.
Sure.
And, you know, we can't be martyrs. We can't be putting our needs after everybody else's because that's going to lead to resentment. And there's no way to realize love when you're feeling resentment. So I think that's really important. And in relationship situations, it's got to be two complete individuals, you know, serving as pillars, holding something up versus two people who feel fractured looking for another half. And I think that's just really important. And again, there's got to be, you know, having a conversation with one of my friends, and he was like, look, I don't need a partner to cook and clean for me. That's not going to bring me peace. That's not something that I can't outsource.
Sure.
You know, I need a partner who won't hold it against me if our 8:30 plans have to get moved to 10. Who won't make me feel bad, who won't make me feel guilty, because the type of work I do requires that. I don't have a 9-to-5, so I don't get to clock out. And I think a lot of that comes from a conversation more so than anything else. We're all so afraid to express our needs, because we're so afraid to hear the word no, and we're so afraid to be rejected. We don't realize that avoiding the conversation is guaranteeing the no and guaranteeing the rejection. If you don't ask, the answer already is no. So I look at it from that standpoint. And it is really about, you know, also, you know, some of this stuff is, especially with social media, it feels so larger than life that you work so hard to get there and you realize, oh, okay, I accomplished what I set out to accomplish, but now what?
Right.
And then you start to think, you know, okay, well, oh man, I should have put more energy into building a relationship with somebody. And then, you know, you talk to your friends who are going through that. You know, I spent a week back home in Toronto, and like, I learned about like 6 divorces that are coming up, you know, in my social circle or extended circle. It's like America's 56% divorce rates.
Right.
You know, and that's not to say there's anything wrong with marriage and monogamy. I think that's more about understanding why people are entering those situations, because they're not trying to outsource the solution to their loneliness.
Yeah, no, I think that's such a good point. And I think that there's a few things that you touched on, you know, even, you know, when you just said kind of when you do reach that mountaintop that you've kind of been visualizing, right? And it not feeling the way you thought it would, right? And I've had that similar thing. And what I've kind of begun to realize a bit more is like, I had unresolved trauma when it came to validation, right? That's what I'm really chasing at the end of the day. And I haven't completely gotten over that, right? It still, you know, pokes into my psyche, you know, every once in a while. I go into like what I call like this trauma loop where I'm like reliving the feeling of being a kid in my parents' basement and like my friends didn't call me to go to some party, right? And I'm feeling like I wasn't worthy of getting that phone call, right? And I recognize how much of that has sort of shaped a lot of my hustle, a lot of my grind, a lot of the things that I have focused on so much, right? And even for me, leaving the Breakfast Club was like my ego taking the biggest hit of my entire life, because I no longer had that gigantic brand that when I told somebody this is where I work, they were immediately impressed and wanted to ask me a million questions, right? And I'm still learning how to get over it. I'm now getting to the point where I'm far more comfortable with it. But like, again, it's that part of me that was missing, that validation that I was searching for was like taking me down all these roads that I thought led me to happiness and fulfillment, but it was just empty and it was just next thing after another thing. And I think that that leads to a conversation you mentioned about your inner child, right? Because that's who was like screaming for some sort of help. And I was just sort of ignoring or putting a Band-Aid on like the superficial aspect of what they were calling for, right? So I'd love to kind of hear a bit more about, you know, your thoughts and what you've kind of had a realization about when it comes to this inner child and how that kind of reflects back in so many of the things that we do as adults.
Yeah, I think the big umbrella theme I want to point out is that we have to go easy on ourselves. So our desire for validation, our thirst for it, our need for it, that's not, I don't think it can be overcome.
Sure.
I think it's a survival mechanism that helped us in small tribes and communities. We're getting validation from the rest of your tribe meant that you were accepted, you were contributing, and you're going to stay alive. And if they weren't validating you, you probably were running the risk of getting kicked out, and that was going to lead to your death. So I think, you know, that's kind of our software that we're running on, you know, just because we've changed societies and we don't live in these small communities anymore. That fear is still there. That's why FOMO feels like crap. That's right. Why rejection feels like death.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just the FOMO is not life or death, but it still triggers that same ancient kind of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, I would abandon language like, you know, overcoming that, because mm-hmm. I don't think it ever is. I think the best we can do as the creatures that we are can be aware of it and be aware of like, oh, I'm feeling FOMO because anytime I feel left out. And again, I feel that all the time and I pick up on it in the slightest ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice it the other way. Like, you know, you brought up the Breakfast Club. It's like me just being back on it, watching the amount of people in a different periphery start reaching out again.
Sure.
You know, and then it's subtly, you know, it's not always negative. So even the positive stuff gets to you. Then it's right. Subtly like in your head saying like, okay, I have to maintain this.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
people, you know, mm-hmm. what have you. And I think what I'm, and again, but it's also realizing that like, that's not sustainable.
Right. Right. You
know? That shows its own entity, it mm-hmm. and it's going through its own changes. And yeah. one day it may not even be there anymore.
Sure.
You can't attach your worth to anything like that. And I dramatically commend you for making the move that you did, because, you know, there is no autopilot in this game. So, you know, either you left that situation or that situation would have eventually left you.
Mm, sure.
You know, and then it would have been a whole different scenario,
yeah,
where you would have been making up a story about leaving,
right?
Like, we just didn't see eye to eye. Like, no, I left because I realized, you know, it was a hard, and you can have an honest conversation. Like, it was hard,
yeah.
Because, yo, like, there's a lot of clout associated with that,
mm-hmm.
but it go again, like, this validation, clout, attention, all of these is bootleg, it's Canal Street, it's fake, it's not love,
yeah,
it's not real, it feels like it, but it's not. And the reason we have all of this is we're not doing the work to establish pathways of authentic love in our life. And we're not focusing on what builds self-respect. You leaving a comfortable situation, leaving an instant conversation starter to go start your own thing, that builds self-respect.
Mm.
You know, that, and that also puts you in a position to develop skills and insight and wisdom that will forever serve you.
Mm.
You know, that's the real safety and security. That's the conversation we need to have with our immigrant parents, which is a stable job isn't stable. Skills are stable.
Right.
Having stable skills, stable hustle, mm-hmm. stable mindset, knowing that like, yo, no matter what, Dremel's going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Versus, oh, got super comfortable with the job.
Yeah.
Something out of my control ended the job.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm trying to build a resume.
Right.
Trying to find the other three positions that may or may not even exist no more.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. It's building that self-respect. And the more self-respect you focus on, the less self-esteem you're going to need. And self-esteem comes from the outside.
Yeah.
And again, there's nothing wrong with us wanting to be validated by other people. We have a society that's built on it. Everything's built on validation. Social media counts your likes and your comments and your engagement and gives you detailed stats and data. It, you know, it's taking who's the most popular kid in high school, and it's made metrics around it.
Right.
And so there's nothing, you know, and they're doing that because it works.
Sure.
Because they're pulling on those primal emotional heartstrings of ours to feel like we need to be included.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that with films. You don't want to be left out when everyone's talking about Avatar. You don't want to be left out. Everyone's talking about Wakanda Forever. You don't want to be left out of the conversation when the new Drake album drops.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, very smart people are using this to manipulate us to spend money on them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's even said in the book world, you know, like I hope one of my books get there one day, but like The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of book that, you know, people feel left out for not having read it.
Sure.
Because everybody's talking about it, or like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So it's that same idea, you know, and it's a marketing idea that really pulls on these strings. So we constantly feel like we have to keep up. But we just have to build a level of awareness of there is no keeping up.
Mm-hmm.
There is no showing up everywhere. There is no being everywhere. And then you start to learn as you start climbing these mountaintops that you don't want to be everywhere. Because then you're going to be the same face that everybody else sees. And that actually decreases your value on a superficial level.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's it's a really interesting thing to think about, where it's like all these solutions are internal.
Mm.
You know, they're not external. They're all inside of us. And they all kind of come from unromantic, unsexy work,
mm-hmm.
on a repetitive work on a daily basis to make ourselves better.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that there's, especially in the recognition of validation just being this natural human thing, right? It alleviates the shame that comes along with it when you feel it, right? But man, we are just tackling so many good things. I think now's a good time to kind of hit the pause button. Let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura podcast network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
All right, we are back, and I want to talk about, you know, you talk about the idea of like finding self-love, if you can, before you even get into a relationship, right? Before seeking out a partner, making sure that you've done that hard work on yourself. So, I mean, for you, kind of what have been some of the crucial themes that you think that you've kind of come across when doing the research for this book and writing that you think are like the cornerstones of that work that, you know, needs to be done before you get into a relationship, before you can truly love somebody else?
So I think the first idea is I want to abandon this idea of finding love.
Mm.
Love, you know, I feel like it's more like realizing love.
Mm.
The analogy I like to use is the breeze. Love is the breeze. The work that we're doing is opening the sail.
Mm.
We're not looking for the breeze. We're just connecting with the breeze that's always there.
Mm.
So we're building paths of love.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can build a pathway. You know, every time I have a conversation with you, we are strengthening that pathway. We're paving it even stronger. We're clearing out whatever mess might be there, whether it's over time, not knowing what's happening with each other, whatever. That's what we're doing. We're establishing this pathway between us. And it gets stronger the more vulnerable we are with each other and what have you. And it's the same work that we have to do with ourselves. And it's abandoning old ideas that have been kind of taught to us either through culture, religion, society, or, you know, commercialism. Sure. One of the big ideas is that you got to be something or do something to earn love. And that's just not true. And we know that's not true because we think about everybody we love. We require nothing of them to love them. You know, your mom does not have to be anything other than your mom for you to love her. And, you know, I'm sure her, like every other human being, is not perfect. And none of those imperfections disqualify her from your love. Sure. You don't even need to have history with somebody. You can hold a baby niece and nephew for the first time and instantly fall in love. It doesn't require anything. They can take a shit on you and you'll still love them.
Right, right.
So there is, you know, these ideas that we have to do, be something. No, I think a lot of that comes in the form of getting people's attention for dating. But again, a lot of that's not going to establish much love either. So doing the work for yourself is what allows it, where it's like, if you embrace your own imperfections, if you accept your own, you know, things that are not considered perfect, if you go easy on yourself, then that'll allow you to embrace other people's imperfections and go easy on them and accept them as they are. So tangible activities, you know, I have a video on my Instagram right now, which is me in my underwear in front of the mirror, you know, and that was inspired by, you know, when people started hearing me talk, saying I have a book about love, they would be like, you ain't even got a wife, you know? You don't have all, you know, it's like making a book about money and not having money.
Right.
So they're sitting there like, yo, you don't even have a wife and kids. Like, how are you writing about love? And I'm like, this isn't the love I'm writing about. I'm writing about the type of love that gets you in front of the mirror in your underwear, accepting what you see.
Sure.
So here it is. Here's me. Here are the results of what this book is. This is what I'm promising you. Read this book and you'll stand in front of the mirror and say thank you to what's in front of you and not be critical and not wish something else was different or not wish something was less thin or fatter or whatever the hell you wish things were. You're accepting yourself as you are. Sure. The same way you accept your siblings as they are, the same way you accept other people in your life that you authentically love as they are. So for me, it's expressing that gratitude. Also understanding that all connections are formed through vulnerability. So being vulnerable with yourself, through prayer. You know, prayer is the most honest time you're ever going to say what you want, the most honest time you're ever going to say what you're thankful for. I don't even care what your religious beliefs are. Just go down on your knees and pray and hear what you have to say out loud. You know, you're going to be very, truthful about what you actually care about, what you're actually, you know, paying attention to who you envy. You know, when you envy somebody, they are helping you reveal what you value. You know, this allows you to be, establish a deeper relationship and more self-awareness with yourself. Journaling, again, write. Get it out of your head. Get it onto the page. Again, these are all exercises to be more vulnerable with yourself. Dance with yourself. You know, close all the blinds, do all what you got to do, then dance. Feel your body. Feel how it feels. Get more intimate with yourself. You can hug yourself. It's called self-havening. All of these are activities that you can, and these are all the things that we do with other people to develop relationships. We tell them our deep, dark secrets. We get intimate with them. We dance with them. We share our dreams with them. All of these things you can do with yourself. You can take yourself out on a date. All of these things are completely doable, doable. And once you do them with yourself, you're way more prepared to do them with somebody else. And now you can skip kind of these facades, these best foot forward facades, you know, because that's what we're all taught to do right now. We're all taught to, you know, Instagram is turning everywhere into Los Angeles. Everything is becoming for display purposes. Everything's being done and motivated for the gram. You know, but there's no love there. It's look happy, don't be happy. Look like you're in love, don't be in love.
Right.
But I think, and, you know, I love that Drake line, which is, you know, I knew a girl who got married and put her phone down, you know, and I think that, like, that just sums it all up very, very easily.
Yeah.
And, you know, because when you start doing the work inside, you need a lot less validation on the outside.
No, that's true. That's a good Drake line, by the way. I wanted to reference something you were talking about, your Instagram, and you had this post that said, sometimes the pathway to love is paved with pain. You want to expound upon that a little bit?
Yeah. We live in a society that will sell us everything to avoid our pain. You know, pain is not our enemy in any capacity. the vast majority of all emotions humans experience would be considered negative. Mm. You know, I think the only two positive emotions humans have is happiness and surprise. Mm. Everything else is negative. And the reason for that is because negative emotions keep us alive. You know, now we're in a society which is saying, don't listen to these emotions. Mm-hmm. They're the enemy. Here's a pill for that. Mm. Here's a drink for that. You know, here's a screen to flip your thumb through to give you some dopamine. Like, just feel good all the time. You need to be happily ever after. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, we don't. We definitely are not designed or wired or should be happy all the time.
Right.
You don't learn when you're happy. You don't grow when you're happy. You don't improve when you're happy. Mm-hmm. All of that comes from the unpleasant emotions. Mm-hmm. And mental health issues don't come from things like anxiety. Mental health issues come from trying to suppress the anxiety, mm-hmm. trying to shut down the anxiety. Anxiety is just a message, like pain. These are messages. They're telling you something. Whether they're telling you to get your hand off the hot stove, whether mm-hmm. they're telling you that you're around the wrong person, whether they're telling you that you're not getting enough sleep, mm-hmm. you know, these are just messages talking to you. Mm-hmm. And that requires us to sit with the pain, sit with it, listen to it, feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that every single emotion we've ever experienced in our entire life has went away. Mm-hmm. Every emotion has been temporary. The good stuff and the not so good stuff. Mm-hmm. So when we avoid our pain, when we delay the pain, when we medicate the pain, all we're really doing is delaying what it's trying to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's chipping away at us because of that.
Sure.
And now our chases for pleasure are less about feeling good and more about not feeling bad.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasure now takes us to zero. A cigarette doesn't make you feel good. It just brings you back to zero. It makes you calm again.
Right.
And what we're really chasing is that calm. What we're really chasing is that peace. That peace is what love is.
Hmm.
It's not joy, bliss, all of these crazy, intense emotions, you know, because those would fry your brain. Like, you know, those, you know, when you're super happy and you're crunk, you make a bunch of promises, you never keep them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Being more even keel and being at peace is what the priority should be. And that requires just sitting through unpleasant situations. And mm-hmm. we all know this, like, if you want to improve your body, you got to voluntarily put yourself through pain at the gym.
Sure. Sure.
And if it was an easy day at the gym, it probably wasn't a good day at the gym.
Right.
And it's the same thing with life. And I think it's a really important kind of thing to understand, because the pain manifests itself in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of us, it's just sitting down and doing nothing. Not having your phone, not listening to music, not having any stimulants, and you start to feel an influx of anxiety. Because we've all been turned into these dopamine addicts with our phones.
Yeah.
You know, we're modern crackheads.
Yeah.
You know, but we just have these social, accessible drugs at the palm of our hands. You know, and again, I am not outside of this.
Sure.
I have a phone. Yeah. I have an iced coffee right now. If I didn't drink this before this interview, I'd probably have a headache. I am aware of this. I am not better than anybody. I'm pointing this stuff out.
Right.
And I'm in the trenches with everybody trying to figure this out myself.
Yeah.
But it's about recognizing it and realizing that if I want to quit coffee, which I had to do once when I did a DMT thing, I had to do 2 weeks without coffee.
Yeah.
It's a horrible journey.
Yeah.
It is a horrible journey. On top of that, if you're trying to live a modern life, you can't afford to be going through a horrible journey while you're trying to pay the bills.
Right, right.
And it's such a really interesting thing where it's like, okay, I could probably not need coffee as long as I don't have to work.
Right.
You know? And if I didn't have coffee, I probably wouldn't need anything to help me sleep.
Right. Yeah, it's a vicious fucking cycle.
But it's a vicious cycle that somebody is getting rich off. And
right.
I think that's the big thing to remember. Like, this stuff is being taught to us because somebody is getting rich off of it. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, and you're going to start seeing it now with marijuana.
Yeah.
You know, first it was outlawed and it was the devil. Now people are going to get rich off of it. They're going to slowly incorporate it into culture in ways that aren't even going to make it beneficial for us. And, you know, I can tell you, you know, bro, don't talk to me until I have my coffee. And that kind of sounds socially acceptable. It's socially acceptable to say that, you know?
Right.
And caffeine isn't a hallucinogen. It's an actual hallucinogen.
Yeah.
It's the, you know, and it's the most abused drug in the world. And I think it's just really important to understand. So when I talk about pain, I talk about that. And it's also recognizing, like, especially for us men, mm-hmm. you know, your partner comes to you with their problems and we try to fix them, you know, yeah. we're the fixers.
Yeah.
But the reason we're the fixers is because they're triggering our pain. Mm. And we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear them in pain because it makes us feel the pain. Mm. And we're not used to dealing with that. No one taught us to sit with the pain. Yeah. Nobody taught us to just, it's okay to be sad.
Right.
It's okay to cry. We think that makes us weak. Mm-hmm. You know, when really it's a strength.
Yeah.
And what I learned way older than I should have learned is that empathy is feeling the pain and just sitting with the other person in it. It's not even saying, I'm sorry, that must suck. It's like, yo, you are triggering my pain.
Yeah.
And now I'm also in pain. Let's just hug each other and be miserable together.
It's crazy because it's funny because, you know, we all are going through these experiences and we think that they exist in a vacuum, right? That like, I'm the only person going through that. And then we hear a conversation somewhere or like what you just said. And I'm like, bro, that's the exact same fucking thing that I've been like, you know, dealing with and trying to recognize. And I got a little bit almost emotional there because it's like that beautiful thing of that human connection, right? Like that I think we tend to forget because like you said, we are in general, I think that's how we're designed. But like the extra stimulus that we have, we're just forgetting about the beautiful natural things that exist, right? And we're like more connected than we've ever been, but we're actually also incredibly distant in a real social like emotional connection. You know what I mean? Everything.
I think the interconnectedness is there, but the actual connection, the deep connections aren't.
Exactly.
Because we're accessible. Accessible, not connected.
Exactly. Yeah. That's beautifully said. Yeah, because it lacks substance, right? So it's that we're not having real conversations. We're just showing each other our highlight reels, and we're like, oh, I know you went to fucking Jamaica last week, right? But I don't know, did you have a good time, a terrible time? Did you get, like, I don't know all that you went through in a real way, right? And we kind of take that surface level connection and think that we sort of know each other more than we actually do, right? And that's why I love books like this. I love conversations like this one. I think they're so important. And I don't want to keep you too long, so I just got a couple more things that I found really interesting that I wanted to get your perspective on. And one of the other things was you talking about considering your attachment style before you got into a relationship, right? And sort of knowing, you know, your potential partner or whatever it is when you're dating. These are sort of things that I feel like people aren't aware, I think, unless you're really invested in this personal growth type of thing. And I think some people might even argue, it's like, yeah, but now we're making love scientific to a degree, right? So I kind of first and foremost love to hear, you know, what the attachment styles are for anybody who doesn't know, but also your take on kind of like, are we taking away the magic behind love as well by kind of fine tuning it too much?
So let's start with the attachment styles. I mean, you can get granular with it, but like the three main ones are avoidant, anxious, and secure.
Sure.
You know, avoidant is, you know, what we would obviously call the person who keeps you at arm's distance.
Sure.
The fuck boy, the whatever.
Right.
Anxious is like the needy person, mm-hmm. the person that doesn't give you a space, you know. And then secure is somebody who's healthy in a healthy situation. And you know, there's, you can Google attachment style quiz, they'll ask questions, you can kind of figure it out. And then pretty much it's kind of like the important thing of it is often anxious people are attracted to avoidance, and avoidance, you know, attract anxious, and that kind of cat and mouse game is what we see with all popular couples. That's your Ross and Rachel, that's your Bobby Whitney, that's your whatever mm-hmm. type of relationships that are unhealthy, but they're entertaining. Mm-hmm. And we start to view them as a model of what things need to be, because secure people in secure relationships who are okay with imperfection, okay with things not being completely perfect, okay with not having a dream person, not relying on a spark, mm-hmm. all of these types of things, and they last. They wouldn't make for good TV. It'd be very uneventful, but it'd be peaceful. You know, peace doesn't make for great TV. Seeing somebody at having inner peace on TV would be very boring.
Right.
So I think from that style, it's a good way to recognize who you are, and a good way to recognize the type of people that you either are attracted to or why. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of work and a lot of tips and tools if you're any of those, mm-hmm. And how to deal with it. And I made a joke in the video that I post on Instagram, just saying trick a secure person to be with you. That's the right. easiest way to do it. Sucker them in, because they'll make life a lot easier, because they'll deal with your shit.
Yeah.
They understand that being with a human being means dealing with their shit, and they're okay with that.
Right.
While the rest of us anxious and avoidance are like, this isn't the bliss I thought it'd be. I'm going to run away.
Right.
And to your second part, you know, kind of over scientifically, you know, interpreting all this to lose the magic.
Yeah.
I don't think so, man. I think the deeper you go in science, the more beautiful this is. I think it was as beautiful. I think it was, you know, back in the ancient days when, you know, some of these scientists were like, you know, being thrown in jail for kind of debunking religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the things one of the scientists said was, listen, I'm not questioning God with my work. I'm just showing you that God is way bigger than we thought.
Mm.
And I don't think the science around love questions love. I think it shows us that love is much grander and larger and accessible and simpler. Not easy, but simpler than we think. So for me, you know, love is service, love is labor. Learning about your attachment style is a way of love. Mm-hmm. Having the, you know, uncomfortable conversations is love. Saying, no, we should just click. Why do you have that belief? Because you just saw that on TV.
Right.
You know, and they skipped all the hard parts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know, and I think that's why it's important to look at this and be like, no, I have to do this with intention. You know, it's no different than having big dreams in entertainment. You know, if you learn the hustle from TV, then the hustle is be really good. Mm-hmm. Somebody in a position of authority will recognize you and throw a bag of money on your head and you'll live happily ever after.
Sure.
You know, that's the American Idol version of success.
Right.
You know, the real version of success is grind. Uh-huh. Be overqualified for every opportunity that ever comes your way.
Right.
Keep grinding. Keep get overlooked. Yeah. Consistency forever pays off. Yeah. You're always one inch away from the prize. Mm-hmm. So you don't get to stop.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing with love. It's grind. Work at it. Establish it. These pathways that you have. And, you know, I'm reading a the book from Michael Singer. He wrote Untethered Soul, but he has a lecture series on surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about like having life experiences beyond your heart.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, we've limited everything to our heart. And he goes, everything starts and stops with our heart. We like things because our heart likes them. We hate things because our heart hates things.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, abandon that and you can experience life way larger than that. So I think, you know, and a lot of this can be backed by science. You know, Joe Dispenza backs a lot of, you know, spirituality, New Age stuff, you know, through measurements of alpha, beta, gamma rays and all of this stuff. So I think the marriage of them, they're not enemies. Mm-hmm. The marriage of them works really well. And everybody accomplishes more when they measure, when they repeat, mm-hmm. you know, and when they're consistent. No matter what you're trying to do, you're trying to be a better chef, you're trying to take better shots in the gym, you're trying to have better interviews, you're trying to be a better rapper. It doesn't matter. If you plan, measure, and stay consistent, good things will happen. And I think it's the same thing with love. And, you know, even meeting women who are very intentional about what they want, they're way more likely to be successful in establishing a partnership that they want versus someone just kind of floating through life, waiting for a magical feeling when they come across a guy. Not realizing that magical spark you're probably feeling is a trauma response and a warning sign to run the other way. This dude's reminding you of your parents.
Yeah.
And the unhealthy love that they were providing, because they also weren't perfect people.
Sure. No, I think that's so beautifully said. Now, I'm loving all that we're talking about, the conversation. Let's take one more quick break and then we'll be right back.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos
para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura Podcast Network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, we are back. Now, last thing I want to ask you about is, you know, because a lot of my audience are people of color, are children of immigrants, you know, first and second generation. And, you know, with that sort of story, we often find ourselves holding space in places that we're not typically seen, right? And I think when I kind of look at you, you know, you are somebody who, even just in a physical sense, is going to stand out from the faces that we see on television or on Oprah's book club, you know, that are doing the self-help things and whatever it may be. You know, you wear, if I'm not mistaken, it's called a Daster, right? Or for some people,
the star,
Okay.
Yeah.
Or some people might know it as a turban, right? And like, you know, you're very obviously not going to fit in with the Tony Robbins of the world, right? You know, from a physical standpoint. And I'm curious for you, you know, especially in the world that we fucking live in right now, man, where there is so much hate targeted at anybody who checks a box of being different, right? Do you struggle ever with imposter syndrome in the world that you exist in? And if so, you know, how does it kind of show up for you?
There was an author years back who writes like teen fiction books that have his name eludes me, but he, you know, all like the Fault in Our Stars and Paper Dragons or Paper Crane, something like that. Like he makes like teenage feel good love story books, and then they turn into massive movies. And I remember going to one of his talks and he talked about having imposter syndrome, and then me being like, yo, if this guy's got it, then everyone's got it, and that means it's not real. And I think it's just the assumption that everybody tries to make things look easier than it really is. And I have moments where I was like, man, am I qualified to do the things that I do?
Right.
And, but then also being like, oh, but also like there are a million people who wanted to write a book, and, you know, and now I've done it so many times, I can literally do it very effectively and quickly. And it's just practice, you know? Right. So the, you know, the imposter syndrome goes away when you realize you're putting in the hours and you recognize the hours to be a professional. It's just doing it over and over until you can't get it wrong. So I think for me, there's that. I think there's also, you know, the generation of like the Deepak Chopras and the Tim Robbins and stuff like that. I think that generation really had the messenger really had to be kind of held at such a high regard.
Right.
And I think then what happened was, you got this new generation, you know, in the last 10 years, which is kind of these people in the wellness space, which is like, hey, I used to be really messed up and then I figured everything out.
Right.
And now I'm not messed up.
Yeah.
And for like you know, three easy payments of 1995. You can learn my secrets.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's, I see a lot of that, and I'm not knocking it. I meeting a lot of these people, their hearts are in the right place. And I think they actually believe that that's a journey. I think what I'm trying to be is like, hey, I messed up in this part of my life. Here are all the things that I've learned.
Right.
Despite learning all of these, I'm still messed up. You know, the last chapter of this book, I talk a lot about, this whole book is just me telling you the differences between French fries and broccoli. Right. And while I'm writing the book, I'm eating a plate full of French fries and broccoli.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to pretend I'm just eating broccoli now.
Right.
You know, and I look at it more cyclical. So for me, it's like, look, I'm messed up. I learned some stuff. Here's what I've learned. Mm-hmm. You know, my unique skill, my 10,000 hours is putting words together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I taught elementary school. I can rap. I do spoken word poetry. I can articulate. I'm taking heavy ideas and I'm making them easy for everyone else to consume.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean I've absorbed all the wisdom and I live by all of it. Like, I can tell you right now, the best way to get a six pack is to burn more calories than you consume.
Right.
There, that's, I don't have to be, can I do it? No.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go eat a Subway sandwich after this. Like, I'm not, but the wisdom isn't a secret.
Sure.
And it's the same way with this. When I talk about self-love and love, look, here's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a boatload of work. And half the time I don't even want to do it, but here it is.
Right.
And maybe some of you guys are more disciplined than me and you guys can do more. And each one teach one. And now I'm looking at the next thing that I need to work on. Like, my next book's going to be about anxiety. I know that. You know, all the anxiety leading up to trying to make this book a success.
Yeah.
I'm going to write about that. Moving to New York, you know, the city of anxiety. Like,
yeah.
And as I said, so for me, it's learning about this space and being like, okay, I'm a stepping stone in the evolution of it. You know, it was important. The same way we look at, you know, especially from the immigrant standpoint of like our representation on television, like in Men in Black, there's a white dude wearing brown paint on his face pretending to be a cab driver. You know, and then there's a bunch of American South Asians doing fake accents. You know, then there's guys like Kunal Nair on The Big Bang Theory who has an accent but doesn't get to use his actual accent because his actual accent is more of a, you know, high-end British accent. But they need him to sound more like Apu from The Simpsons. You know, and then shows like Never Have I Ever, half the cast in the show has accents. None of the cast in real life has accents. So it's like you can't skip those steps to get there. So now if I write something in TV, there ain't gonna be no fucking accents. It don't matter.
Right.
You know, or my accent's gonna be whatever this accent is, which is probably a Toronto man accent. And it's, you know, it's just, so I see that same thing in the wellness space, which is you can't skip steps. You needed guys to act like this shit don't stink until you can get people who understood that the real way to create connection with people isn't to promise them everlasting happiness, is to create opportunities for vulnerability. And even with vulnerability, it's not 0 to 100. The truth is, that story about my dog, I could tell that to a stranger the first day I meet them and they wouldn't scare them away. You know, it's not a 100 out of 100 vulnerable story. You know, I've known you now for years. We can be more vulnerable with each other. We can get deeper with it. You can't do that with somebody you just met.
Sure.
And I'm understanding that with this book, I'm realizing, you know, with this book, I got even more vulnerable talking about my insecurities, talking about my breakups, talking about relationships with my mom, talking about stuff like that. Knowing that I have a large audience and people are reading this and I'm talking about my family and I'm talking about my friends. I'm mentioning everybody and I'm mentioning people by name now. But like, to me, I realized it's important. And putting myself in my underwear on Instagram, like, this stuff is important because A, it allows people to realize like this is okay. You know? And I think B, for me as an individual, it's encouraging me to say, look, this is the game you're gonna play, you can keep playing it without any detriment. I'm not relying on being outlandish or controversial or polarizing, which a lot of people do to get attention, and then they're stuck playing that game forever. If I have to play the game of be more vulnerable forever, I think that's good for me. Because all I'm really doing is that I'm realizing, and as a lot of us men and women have to realize, all of these walls and this armor and this protective layers that we're wearing, it's a prison. And all I'm doing every book is I'm peeling away and tearing down walls.
Yeah.
And you know, my benchmark, my compass is fear. If I'm afraid to do it, then I gotta do it.
Right.
Somebody just invited me to Oregon to sit in the dark for 5 days. Sit in a room completely in the dark for 5 days. It's called dark therapy. Aubrey Marcus did it for 6 days, and he said it completely, it just shatters your identity.
Wow.
Because you have no stimulation for 6 whole days. You have no idea what's happening. Mm. It scares the hell out of me, so I have to do it. The same reason I went to Poland and sat in ice. Like, that was a 100% no.
Yeah.
And then I had to have the talk with myself. It's like, if it's a 100% no, then it probably should be a yes.
Right.
So, you know, being on this journey of just trying to, you know, exist at the edges of life and understanding what this human experience can be, I think is really important. And, you know, I have to care if my book sells, because that's how I pay my bills.
Sure.
You know, I want to do interviews and I want to do a great job, and I want people like you to be like, it was worth your time and energy and love, and you'll have me back and we can continue doing this and grow together. And you know, by the next time a book drops, you know, Life of a Gringo is going to be 10 times larger. And it's like, but it's an authentic relationship. It's not like I had the clout to get on or something. So I think for me, all of this is a journey that I enjoy and appreciate. And I think I'm learning now, it's not about what you achieve, it's who you become doing the work.
Mm.
You know, and death, as I said before we started the cameras, like, this is my first public moment almost since the end of 2019.
Right.
You know, I've been around, and I have a strong following and stuff like that. But, you know, when you have a moment, that's when people who ain't following you, people who ain't thinking about you, you know, you have your moment. Like Kendrick has his moment once every 5 years and disappears. Right.
Yeah.
This is my moment, and I don't choose to disappear, but just the way the world works is you disappear in the noise after.
Yeah.
And it's been so interesting from pros and cons in every capacity. And you know, the beautiful thing of it this time around is I'm observing it. I'm not experiencing it. I'm observing it.
Mm.
I'm observing the treatment. You know, I literally have famous people returning DMs that I sent them 3 years ago.
Mm.
After the Breakfast Club dropped.
Right.
You know.
And what's that difference though between observing it and experiencing it?
Realizing that I'm this isn't me.
Mm.
Like, I am not happy. I am not sad. I am not stressed.
Mm.
I guess maybe it's not observing versus experiencing. I'm experiencing it versus being it.
Mm.
So I'm not happy. I'm not sad. I'm not stressed. I'm experiencing happiness. I'm experiencing sadness. I'm experiencing stress.
Right, right. Like, your identity is not tied into it entirely.
Yeah,
right? It's just a moment in time.
Yeah. I am who is experiencing the world. I am who is experiencing the emotions. Mm-hmm. I am who is experiencing the thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the thoughts. I'm not the emotions. I'm not the world.
Right.
So when there's ultra validation, when there's a bunch of, you know, blue check celebrities
mm-hmm.
posting about my book that I don't even know, or posting about my interviews that I don't even know, that does, I'm observing it versus feeling it. I mean, like, oh, you made it.
Right, right.
And I'm a lot more like, okay, I hope this helps when we negotiate the next book. Or right. I hope this helps if I want to start another project.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hope this helps me get a meeting. Versus, right. I need this to feel like I matter. And I think I learned that just being in Los Angeles, which is like, the hustle in New York is people are trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to keep their lips above water.
Yeah.
The hustle out here in LA is people are trying to maintain their identities, keep their identities above water, their relevance above water.
Sure.
You know, they may not necessarily have to worry about their bills,
yeah.
But there's a fear of losing their relevance, their status, their power,
yeah.
Their beauty, their what have you.
Right.
And I think that's just a really interesting thing, because that's meant to die. As you said, you killed, you know, DJ Dramos, the dude working at the Breakfast Club. You killed him voluntarily.
Yeah.
To create something new, and maybe one day you might kill Life of a Gringo if it no longer serves what you need to do.
Right.
And I think that, you know, there's a quote about to love someone is to attend 1,000 funerals for who they used to be. And I think that includes ourselves. We have to attend our own funerals. And, you know, I started this book with a breakup. The breakup wasn't with the person. The breakup was with a version of myself in that relationship. And I couldn't be with myself. I couldn't be with that version of a person. And that required me to change my life and my situation.
Mm.
Me leaving LA is the same thing. I'm breaking up with the version of me that has to survive in LA
mm-hmm.
to start a relationship with the version of me in New York.
Right.
And, you know, it's going to take time to figure out if I want to be around that person either.
Sure.
And so all of it, you know, it's a long-winded answer to this idea of how I view myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that only came with time. You asked me this after my first book. It was like, you know, literally a month after doing the Breakfast Club, the Toronto Raptors won the championship, first time in history. And I'm at all the games and I'm getting endless love in the crowd. Yeah. They're like, you put us on. Oh my, you know what I mean? Like it was a whole movement and I was feeling like a trillion bucks, you know what I mean? Security guards, everyone was being super nice to me. You know, I'm getting places I'm not even supposed to get to, you know? And it's just like, then, you know, you want to fall in love with that.
Yeah.
And I think now it's a little bit more, I think that the pandemic slowed everything down, made you think about it. Like, wait, okay, that's all gone. There ain't no basketball games to go to. Mm-hmm. There ain't no parties to get into. There ain't no none of that.
Yeah.
But a lot of those people are still talking to you. You know, the DJ at that club that's so hard to get into, he's still sending you DMs, you know, and asking you questions about his life and his love life or whatever. All of those relationships, that stuff's the real stuff. You know, and you may never call him to get line bypass to go to that club ever again. But the relationship you built with him, that's actually what matters.
Right.
Not this, you know, and I think this time around, when all these moments are happening for me again, I'm like, oh, okay, there are people who are viewing me as relevant. And then there are people who are just proud of me because they care about me as a person.
Sure.
And these aren't people that are going to replace me or find another avenue if I get hit by a bus tomorrow.
Right.
And I think that kind of matters a lot more to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so beautifully said, man. I always appreciate our conversations, bro. How to Be Loved, available right now. Go pick that up. Where can people follow you, keep up with everything you're doing? You know, they got the book cover right there.
Yes.
That absolutely is beautiful. I love the kind of template that you have going on your branding. I think it always just makes for a really easy read, which I think is some of the hardest things sometimes with getting into books, especially
getting, every chapter is only 2 pages. You can open up to any page and you'll find something you love. You don't have to read the book in order. And I'm just trying to make it easy for people. You can find me at Humble the Poet on Instagram and all other social medias. The book is available everywhere books are sold: Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Indigo if you're in Canada, most international bookstores. And then as well, if you can't find your bookstore, you can go to humblethepoet.com/love and there's more ways to get the book. And it's also available in audio, and it's definitely more emotional chapters in this one as well.
Yeah, I definitely recommend the audio book. I think your history as a rapper lends well to you doing an audio version and keeping it entertaining. So I definitely recommend the audio version of your books. But my bro, it's always amazing catching up with you, man. And I appreciate our conversations both, you know, on camera and off camera. So I really do appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man.
Man, big shout out to my guy, Humble the Poet, for hopping on today's show. Just always dropping some gems, some knowledge. I always feel inspired and like I learned something whenever I speak to him or hear one of his interviews or, man, read one of his books. So I hope y'all got something out of that. I thought it was amazing. His book, How to Be Loved, of course, out everywhere right now. And without further ado, let's just kind of tie everything we talked about today in a neat little bow in a segment we call Conclusion Stew. But first, let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles, because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Time for conclusion soon.
Man, what is left to be said about this conversation with Humble? We dove into so much shit that I just found to be super profound, especially the topic of love and relationships, obviously, that we centered around. But I just think so many of us are ignorant to the amount of work that it takes to truly love someone and to even just get into a serious relationship, right? I think even myself included, like I felt like a lot of work preparing and sort of like manifesting a serious relationship, but I don't think I realized what it meant to really build a long-term relationship and the amount of, you know, work and growth that was involved in, you know, creating something that would hopefully last forever, right? And you know, the idea of like two separate people coming together to become one unit, you know, and how you're trying to integrate one another's lives. And it's just, you know, it's not the fairy tale we see on TV. And of course, it's a beautiful thing. Love is an incredible thing. And I'm grateful to have found it, to be in a beautiful relationship. But I think it requires a level of work and self-awareness that we're not taught about, you know, when we speak about love growing up. Or you know, I feel like we're taught like the birds and the bees, but we're not taught how to genuinely love somebody, how to be in a real relationship. And that's just something we have to figure out. And we bring on, you know, our own baggage into each relationship. We have to figure out how to navigate through that, right? And get over our own shit while also being there for someone else who's trying to work through theirs. And there's just so many different conversations. And then, you know, kind of what Humble was talking about, a lot of it was, you know, if you don't love yourself, if you don't genuinely, you know, feel a type of way about yourself, you're never going to be able to be a positive factor in a relationship, right? It all starts with how we feel about ourselves, and then that begins to be mirrored outwardly into the relationships that we have in our lives, right? And I just think that that's such a powerful thing. I know for me, having that conversation with him, I've just been kind of reflecting and stewing on that, because I think that that's something I've been kind of realizing a bit, is that I have some more work to do in the department of truly loving myself. And my lack of having that true love for myself, I'm seeing it sort of play out in different parts of my relationship. And if you hear a little footsteps in the background, I've got my dog running around here right now. But yeah, that's something that I've been struggling with a bit, and realizing that that's probably one of the things that I need to kind of make a priority this year, in addition to a few other things. But that I think my lack of self-love in certain ways is affecting, you know, my own happiness and also, you know, parts of my own personal relationships with those in my life. So I think it's a beautiful kind of concept, and I love that he's speaking about this stuff. His books are, you know, incredibly easy to digest. Like he said, they're you know, two-page chapters. And that was something for me when I picked up his book, Unlearn, his first book. That was just like a game changer for me. I would read a couple pages a day. And I have it here. If you're watching the video version of this on YouTube, on the Michael Thura podcast YouTube page, I have it behind me on my mantle as one of my more influential items that I own, and that has had a profound impact on my life. But, you know, I just think, man, there's a lot of work to be done. The work never ends. And I think that that's kind of the synopsis for all of this. You know, we think we have it all figured out. We think once we get that person, you know, the work is all done and we're like good to go and we can put it in autopilot. And I think that couldn't be further from the truth. There's always some growth to happen. At times it could be uncomfortable, but, you know, we have to keep in mind we're pushing towards the best version of ourselves, and also giving ourselves a break. You know, in that conversation, we were talking about my need for validation,
And then just understanding like this is a normal sort of human emotion to a degree, right? And as long as you're not doing something detrimental to your life, like you have to be, you know, accepting of the fact that you're human and these are things that are going to come up for you, right? Man, just so many different conversations. I'm going to go read the book myself. I've only been able to read parts of it thus far, but I just want to get him on the show while he was still in his book cycle. I'm going to go finish that up, but I just think it's man, love is a really difficult concept. I think we oversimplify it in like this commercialized society that we live in. And I think to maintain it takes a lot of nurturing, you know, and to be able to truly share it with someone else takes a lot of self-awareness, a lot of growth on the personal end of things. And also the foundation of it is loving yourself first before you can love anyone else, I think is kind of the takeaway from today's conversation. Now, with that said, thank y'all so much for tuning into today's show. Again, Humble the Poet, How to Be Loved. The book is out everywhere right now, including the audio version. My other podcast, The Street Stoic. Check it out wherever you find podcasts. And man, that's it. We'll catch you on Thursday for our Thursday Trends episode. Until then, stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon.
Peace.
Life as a Gringo is a production of the Michael Dura Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.